Welcome to the HS Innkeepers Podcast. We're glad you found your way here.
And welcome to episode number 19 of the Innkeepers Podcast. We are a podcast for innkeepers covering Hearthstone's fireside gatherings. With insight and information we hope all of our fellow innkeepers will find useful. My name is Avantes from Knoxville, Tennessee.
This is Root from Orlando, Florida.
And this is Aliri from Halifax, Nova Scotia. And with us today we have a very special guest straight from HCT Amsterdam. We have Lucas all the way from Amsterdam.
Hi there. How are you?
Welcome.
We are super happy to have you on the show.
Yeah, super excited about this.
Happy to be here.
We're going to keep you up the rest of the night. Now, coming up here in episode number 19 of the Innkeepers Podcast, we, of course, have our news, shares, and spotlights for you. And more importantly, we're going to cover everything HCT related from Amsterdam. Lucas is there, the innkeeper with boots on the ground. We'll have a special report from him.
And don't forget, for all of your fireside gathering needs, check out hsinnkeepers.com for innkeeper resources made by innkeepers for innkeepers. And make sure to check out firesidegatherings.com to make sure your events are included or people to find you there.
That's right. Before we jump into this awesome interview we have lined up for you guys today, we do want to let all of you know that in case you maybe were living under a rock yesterday, there are some nerfs incoming to a few cards that you guys will want to make sure your communities are aware of. It's four cards in particular: Bone Mare, Corridor Creeper. You got, help me out here, guys. I'm struggling.
Patches the Pirates.
Patches the Pirates. And number four. Come on, chat.
Void Lord.
No, I wish. Patches, Corridor Creeper, Bone Mare.
I had it up. I don't remember where it went.
Come on.
And that other card.
Oh, Raza. No, and Raza.
Raza.
Yeah. So make sure you guys are aware and let your communities know. I know I posted a bunch on Facebook yesterday letting everybody in my general vicinity know about those changes. So, Patches is no longer in charge, which is funny.
This is a good opportunity. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Mike Donay posted on Reddit yesterday that they just so happened to find an alternate voice line for Patches.
So, this is a good time to share this information with your community. It's basically what you do as an innkeeper. You're not just putting on events, but you're also making sure that your community has the most information they can have. Go ahead, Lucas.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, that's what you do as an innkeeper. You provide information, you answer questions. You're supposed to be the expert on the game.
Yeah.
Ooh,
You don't feel like it.
There you go. Yeah. So, all right, Aliri, why don't you tell us about our top share of the week?
The ladder was also revealed. The ladder changes coming in March. It's just another thing to put into your community. It's going to be, quote, easier to hit legend. It's just a different system. Make sure to check out the news articles on Hearthstone.com to make yourself aware of those and fill your patrons in on all the news and juicy gossip. Top share of the week comes from Ben, one of our regular mentions on the show, Ben from Wichita in Kansas. So we had mentioned last week that Ben makes these incredible coloring sheets that are the Hearthstone card backs. So you can print them, take them to your firesides, and have it as what I term a passive side event or side activity where patrons can kind of participate or not participate just as an extra added item to your events. He has made a Dropbox that he has now uploaded all of the current ones to. I know he's still working on them. He just posted today the new Warcraft expansion one, so he's continuously updating it. And we have a link in chat if you exclamation point card back Dropbox. You'll get the link, but he does, of course, have it pinned in the side events channel of the Discord server as well. So make sure to check that one out.
Yeah, those coloring pages are simply amazing. We always have them out for our events. We actually give a raffle ticket for turning one in, and it's just fun. We've had people, like at my last Fireside Gathering we did this past weekend, we did a tournament, and we had a wife and a kid come who accompanied the husband. The husband was in a tournament, the wife and kid colored. And got raffle tickets, and then the guy won. So it was a cool thing. It was just a neat thing to have happen. So it was really fun. So yeah, check those out. Ben does a great job with that.
Absolutely. Okay, so I guess that's going to bring us to our new innkeeper spotlight. Why don't you tell us about our new innkeepers who are joining us?
Certainly. We've got Barbaric Yelp from Durham, North Carolina, which I like that name, Barbaric Yelp. That's just fun to say. She says, "Hi, everyone. I'm a total newbie when it comes to Fireside Gatherings. I haven't even been to one as of yet. For some reason, there haven't been too many in the Triangle area here in North Carolina that are open to casual gamers, so I thought it might be fun to start one up." So I like this. I like what Barbaric Yelp is doing. He's found a need, and he's filling a need. If it wasn't open to casuals because everybody was super, super competitive, that can sometimes push a lot of people away who aren't super, super competitive. I know in our last event that we had, it was a massive, it was an HCT event or a Tavern Hero qualifier. And we had people show up who have not been to one of our events in years because it was a Tavern Hero qualifier. Because of that, it was a more competitive environment, and we had a different crowd. So if you have a super competitive area, you may be a super casual player and not like that scene. So I like this. I like what he's doing up there.
Absolutely. You know, it takes all kinds to run events, and just putting yourself out there and doing it is the best way to start a community. You know, we all pretty much started that way. Just wanted to hang out with friends, and it grew from there. So congratulations, Barbaric Yop. Welcome to the team. And if you have any questions, feel free to hit us up.
Barbaric Yop.
Yeah.
There you go.
Sounds like a warrior card out of the next set.
It does. Yeah.
All right. So that brings us to tonight's main topic, the one we're super stoked about. HCT Amsterdam, the World Championship Fireside Gatherings, with none other than the innkeeper himself, Lucas. Lucas, again, welcome to the show. Tell us all about the experience.
Oh man, where to start? I mean, first of all, it was absolutely amazing. I had the best time. It was even better than I in my wildest dreams. I mean, it was awesome. So let's start with that. I mean, Blizzard did a great job setting up a wonderful, wonderful event. The location is absolutely awesome. I want to talk about that later as well, because it's a historic building in the center of Amsterdam. And the location added so much to the event. I mean, that made it even more special than it would have been. So, awesome. So should I tell a little bit about how it went, what we did, what the activities were?
Tell us everything. We want to know it all.
let me start with my personal experience first. I mean, when I heard about the event coming to Amsterdam, which was at the exact same time as everyone else, I mean, it was just posted on the blog, and I think someone in my community sent me a message saying like, "Oh my God, Lucas, look at this, we have to go here." So then I immediately went behind my computer and started writing emails to everyone I knew in Blizzard saying, "Guys, this is amazing and I want to be involved in some way." And I guess it worked, because then weeks or months later even, they sent me a message saying, we want you to be an innkeeper at the event. So that was, that made my day, of course, to be there. And of course, we started organizing with the community as well to think of cool stuff we could do during the event or at the side of the event. And we actually came up with the idea to do an after party on the Saturday, which we did. So that was good. Yeah, I mean, oh, there's so much to tell. Where to start? What do you guys want to know most? What's the burning question?
I guess, like, for me, like, I'm interested in knowing, you know, in the process of, you know, working with Blizzard, because I'm sure everyone is interested in that as well. But, you know, how did you decide what to do at the event itself? And, you know, what did you guys do at the event? Well, did you do side activities? Did you do side tournaments? Or was it mainly a viewing party for the main mm-hmm. event itself?
What the main activity was, I mean, the HET was divided into main areas. The first main area was the main stage, which was, you know, where all the action happened. So it had like long tables. You saw it on the stream, right? People screaming, you know, applauding, mm-hmm. watching the screens. You had the caster's desk, you had the presenter's desk, and you had the players, of course. And then the other big area was called the tavern, which, you know, does ring a bell for us, a tavern, you know. And this tavern was, this is where the Blizzard organized side events for the audience, just to do something else than watch the sports directly. I mean, there were big screens there, so you could follow the action from anywhere, obviously, because that's the main attraction. But in the tavern, they had a stage called the Between Two Hearth stage. And that had like panel talks, interviews. They did a quiz even with Ben Brode and some other guys. And it was just sort of, you know, talk about the game, talk about the meta. There was a talk between Firebat and Thijs, where mostly what they were doing was burning each other and saying, you know, Europe sucks. No, US sucks. Just joking around. It was really cool. And it's just really cool to be so close to all these really famous streamers and players, right? So it's very, very nice. And the other thing in the tavern was games, of course, playing Hearthstone. So there were these daily tournaments every day that had 128 players in a big Swiss bracket or Swiss rounds. And then, and the dailies were especially exciting for the community because the first prize for the dailies was a trip to the next HET seasonal really? Of your choice.
Wow.
Paid for plane wow. ticket, hotel, everything. So that was, of course, amazing. So people stood in line for those from early in the morning, as you can imagine. And then besides the daily tournaments, which, by the way, had way more prizes than that. I mean, they had duffel bags, they had T-shirts, they had, you know, swag everywhere. And then they also had the quick play tournaments, which were really, really cool. It was a small eight-player single Elim brackets. And what we did was a best of three with a single deck. So it was very, very accessible to every player because all you needed was just one decent deck. And, you know, very easy to win small prizes like a Blizzard pin, card back pin, you know, the card back they give out at HET, but then in pin version. And notebooks and a T-shirt as well. So that was really cool. And as a single Elim, so you could drop out right away, but you could also start a new one whenever you wanted. Because as soon as we had eight players to play, ready to go, then we'd start one of the quick plays. So we've had players who did like, you know, 10 of them on one day, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Wow, yeah.
So that's what we did. And I wasn't alone, of course. I mean, I was just one of the innkeepers. And we had a couple of two innkeepers from Copenhagen. They're watching now. Sandra and Jacob, hi, how are you? And we had Jasper Swinghammer from Germany. You all know him, right?
Yeah.
I've heard of him
wait,
before.
Wait, yeah. I think I have something for that.
Swinghammer. Oh, really?
Oh, there we go.
Swinghammer. There you go. He was there.
This might be a good moment just to interject and say that sure. We have fresh innkeeper recordings for the podcast that have been made by the real-life innkeeper himself, Bites. So if they sound a little different, that's probably why. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nice.
So.
Thank you, Bites.
You guys also did a big fireside gathering outside of the main venue, if I'm not mistaken, right? Like on Saturday night.
Well, no, on Saturday night we did a party. We went to this really cool club around the corner from the venue. club that has like video games, old school video games, you know, Pac-Man and pinball and, you know, all those Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter, that kind of stuff. And on the Wednesday, or no, was it Thursday? It's all a big blur. I think it was on Thursday. We did an improvised fireside gathering at our tavern because I didn't like we talked about doing a fireside gathering, but we thought, you know, we don't want to try and, you know, compete with the HCT, so we won't do one at the same time.
Now this is the tavern where you host all your normal fireside gatherings, right?
Yeah.
And you actually have a video from the tavern, right?
Yeah.
Why don't we just play that for our viewers right now?
Sure. Yeah.
So, all right, here we go.
I've actually decided at the HCT Amsterdam today to do a surprise fireside gathering at Amsterdam Hearthstone's tavern in Spanish Café Twee Klaveren. So, I want to show you the turnout because it's actually quite fun. So, let me show you. It's some guys are here playing. Wave. Hi. Hi. So these are actually some people we met at the HCT, and who just decided to show up for the fireside gathering. So that's pretty fun. That's Granby right there, one of our steady community players. Did you pass through the next round?
No,
we lost. Normally he wins, but this time he lost. So we've actually decided to do a deck building tournament in the modified Pauper format. So that means only one legendary, four rares, and two epics. And we have exactly 16 players playing in the tournament. So we made this bracket here. As you can see, the innkeeper is through for the next round. Very happy about that. And Fondue CN, the guy we've already also met at the... Hey, there's Jasper. Wave, swing hammer.
Swing hammer.
Yeah, there he is. So this guy's he arrived late, so he's not playing. That's Thomas. That's a fellow innkeeper from Amsterdam. Wave. Hi, Thomas. And that's Ethan. Everybody knows Ethan. The most important innkeeper in Switzerland, by far. By far, of course. Yeah, hey, all the way from Ufa, Russia.
Yeah.
All the way from Barcelona. No, which city?
Barcelona.
Barcelona, yeah? Oh, he lives in Amsterdam. But anyway, one of our steady patrons as well. And some people are playing Settlers of Catan, but I think they abandoned the island. And these guys were playing Cards Against Humanity. Hey guys, wave to the camera. That's Theo. You know him from the HCG team. Hey Theo. That's Timo, one of our city players as well.
All the way from the Netherlands.
All the way from the Netherlands. So that's it, yeah. Our improvised, impromptu fireside gathering. Hope you liked it. See you later. Bye.
So that was awesome. You had so many people there, and that was such a great turnout. And you had people from all over. I mean, it was just the best. Looked like it was so much fun.
It was, yeah. I mean, it was so great that we could just, like, I didn't plan it, right? So, but then people were asking me about the tavern, like, where do you do your firesides? And I was like, you know what, we should just go there. And at first we were with, I don't know, 10 people, but then more and more people joined up, and we were... You know, it was really great.
Yeah. So I guess
one of.
I was just saying.
Sorry, we used the format of the Bytesmade, the deck building format that you can actually find on HS Innkeepers as well. And that's a really, really fun deck of deck building cards. You should definitely use that if you're.
So I guess the most important question was: we saw the Innkeeper made it through the first round. Did the Innkeeper win it all?
The Innkeeper never wins.
Good answer, sir. Good answer. So, all right. Well, that's awesome. So we talked about the daily tournaments and we talked about, you know, everybody that was there, all the help you had. This is going to be kind of a hard question, but what was your favorite memory from the entire weekend?
Oh me, oh my. I would have to say it was on the last day, on the Sunday, when I was in the main area when the final was going on, and I was standing there watching with, like, I don't know, 10 at least of my community guys just standing around. We were like a big group in the back, you know, shouting and screaming and going, go, go, go. And it was just such a great feeling to have so many people I know that love the game together there in one spot. So it was just awesome. So great. Yeah.
Good.
That was the best.
So on that note, you know, I can't imagine having worlds come to little old Halifax. Obviously, Amsterdam is a more established, bigger global city, but, you know, what kind of impact, you know, has there been an impact already on your community? Has it grown? Have you run an event since then? Are you planning an event? And just curious, you know, do you foresee having higher attendance just from having this kind of event hosted in your community area?
It's a good question. I was of course very active with, you know, talking to people and saying, you know, hey, if you like Hearthstone, come out to our tavern. I had these flyers printed out that was pretty professional, and I was sort of shy about putting them on the tables because I didn't want to be, so you know, that guy who was, you know, promoting his own stuff. But then the hosts of the venue actually started handing them out for me and even folding them inside the program leaflets of the event. So that was pretty awesome. So I do expect you know, some more people coming. Our next event is this Saturday, actually. So and it's going to be Tavern Hero Qualifier. And you know, most of the reactions I have are very positive. Of course, people say, you know, I want to come out. But to tell you the truth, I mean, most Dutch players I saw coming in, I actually met already because they've already been at my tavern. I mean, it's just, yeah. I mean, it's just so amazing to see so many people. You know, the Holland isn't that big, right? So Amsterdam is very close for everyone. I mean, the furthest you need to travel from anywhere in the Netherlands is like 90 minutes or maybe 2 hours if you're really somewhere in a corner. So most guys I've actually, you know, most avid players I've already met once at least. So that was, I guess I felt that was my role there, right? To be sort of this guy that people know and can talk to. And you know, that was what I was doing most of the day, just answering questions and introducing people to one another and things like that, just being the host, you know?
So Lucas, did you follow any of the news that happened after HCT Amsterdam as far as esports goes? Because in chat, KW Firesides brings up a good point. It says, Amsterdam HCT event could well be known as the historical starting point for esports being more widely recognized and accepted as it was initiated by the president of Taiwan due to Tom's World Championship win. Have you guys heard any more, like, rumblings of esports being a little more mainstream?
Well, of course, what I did notice was all the major newspapers writing about this event and then writing about esports in general and about Hearthstone. And what I did notice was that for the first time, I mean, of course, I've read some bits, some interviews with Tyson L, for example, gave a big interview with the newspaper. But for the first time, this time I read these articles and I thought, wow, these journalists actually know what they're talking about and they're taking it seriously. And they're, you know, it was nice to notice that, you know, he got sort of recognition on that scale as well. Yeah,
that's really awesome.
That would be like, I would be so thrilled if I saw esports and Hearthstone in my, you know, my local papers. That would be just great.
Yeah.
That's the dream.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, all right. You guys.
Do you?
Go ahead, O'Leary.
Well, I was going to say, do you? Because hopefully, you know, in the future, the, you know, the playoffs and the championships and the World Championship, they are moving them around the globe now to different places. Mm-hmm. So hopefully in the future, there'll be other innkeepers involved in these kinds of events. Do you have any, you know, advice or recommendations for any innkeepers that may find themselves in a similar situation?
I would say just give a shout out as soon as you hear, you know, something coming near, and just give a shout out to anyone you know at Blizzard. Tell them that you're enthusiastic and that you want to help and that you want to be involved, and then, you know, they'll hear you, I hope, and then maybe you can do something. Yeah, just let it know. You know, tell the world what you want, and you know, maybe it'll come to you. Yeah.
All right. So Lucas, looking back on it after the dust has settled, is there anything you wish had gone differently or that you could have or anybody could have maybe done better for the next time around?
Yeah, I have some feedback. And I shared my feedback as well with Blizzard already. A couple of things went wrong with the daily tournament on day one. It was canceled, actually. And that was really sad because I really advertised for it. You know, I told everybody, you come out on Thursday because Thursday's going to be a quiet day, so you have a big chance of winning the big tournament. People were standing in line from, you know, 7 in the morning in the cold. And then they showed up and then it was just, the doors just closed, you know, canceled.
Oh, wow.
Without notice and without, you know, and that's something that I was really disappointed about. And I felt bad about as well because these people were standing, you know, people were prepared, you know, were ready to go. You know, they took a day off work. They spent time preparing and then all of a sudden it was just canceled without any notice. So that was pretty bad.
The tavern was canceled, or
the daily tournament. I mean, what I think happened was the turnout was really small on Thursday, and they wanted the main area to be filled up with people because of the stream. So they said, you know, we're keeping the tavern doors closed, so everybody goes into the main hall, which of course meant that the daily tournament would be canceled.
Right.
But you know, they didn't sort of announce that possibility beforehand, right? They just said it's going to be a daily tournament. It starts at, you know, 8:30. Be there, be on time. So that was kind of that was a bad thing. But but the rest, I mean, Blizzard did such an awesome job organizing this. I mean, I only have, you know, a lot of respect for. I mean, I of course could see a little bit behind the scenes as well, and you have no idea how huge of an organization this event was. I mean, it's just, oh my God, so many people working production, working catering, working security, working, you know, yeah, it's huge, so big, so big.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Sounds like it was a good time. Wish I could have been there. I really do.
Yeah. Yeah, I did see a couple of people from the U.S. who flew over, but these are people who you know, probably had the free time and the ability to just take a week off and just go to Amsterdam for the HET.
Yeah.
Not everybody has
bites. The luxury.
Yep.
So what exactly was your role as this innkeeper on a global stage, on a worldwide stage at this event? How is your role any different than your normal role as an innkeeper?
Well, I mean, don't make it any bigger than it was. I was just, you know, an innkeeper, one of the innkeepers there. So I was just working, you know, helping setting up the tournaments, you know, doing admin stuff, handing out prizes to the players. And actually, I mean, like I said, my role was pretty, it was an innkeeper. So I was hosting. I was the host. I was the person, you know, who smiles at you when you come in and say, do you want to play a game? You know, that's pretty much what I did. And that's what I do at my tavern as well. So it felt really good to be there. But I mean, of course, my position was special because I'm local. So for me, it was, you know, it was like a home game advantage, as you would say in the U.S. Yeah. Yeah.
So not much different than what you do at your normal taverns.
No, just talking to people, playing some Hearthstone, and, you know, giving out swag. That's what I do.
Nice. Yeah. I love giving out swag.
Oh yeah, so good. So great.
All right, so yeah. how far away, I'm going to ask the question here, how far away was the venue from the red light district there in Amsterdam?
It's... It's slap bang in the middle of the red light district. I mean, it's
all right.
it's a little bit about the venue. It's called the Beurs van Berlage, and Beurs is the Dutch word for stock exchange. So it's actually the old stock exchange, and Berlage is the name of the architect. He's a really famous architect in Europe. And the building is you know, it's beautiful. Just look it up on the internet, look up some pictures. It's really, really pretty. And it's built right next to Central Station. So between Central Station and Dam Square, which is like the central square, that's pretty much, that whole area is pretty much filled up with that building. And then from there eastward, it's the red light district. So just stick out your head from the window and you'll see the first red lights. It's right there.
So being close to the, I guess that's right close to the central, was that train station there? So people
can central train station. Yeah.
So public transportation, which is phenomenally better in Europe than it is in the United States, made it really easy for people to get there and join the venue. So that's cool.
Yeah. Just from the airport, you take a train 15 minutes and then you're right at the venue. So it's just very, and the hotel where they put up all the Blizzard people was also like 5 minutes from there. So everybody was just walking. It was just, the whole city was squirming with Blizzard people with the badges everywhere. It's really nice.
That's awesome. That's always
a fun sight to see that wherever you go, if it's BlizzCon or anywhere else, it's always cool to see a bunch of people walking around with their Blizzard name tags.
Yeah, and it really adds to it. You know, the fact that it's in the city, it's in the center. You feel like the whole area is alive, right? It's so much better than some conference hall somewhere, you know, in way out in the middle of nowhere. It's just really great to have that historical.
Monty's, I am scared to death about your body language right now, brother. What has been said in chat?
Bites is cracking me up in chat. He said he went on a tour with Lucas, and Lucas. He said his favorite part of the Lucas tour was fried chicken, hookers, church, kindergarten hookers.
He mentions hookers twice in that list of five items.
He would mention it twice at least. Yeah, I mean it's it's actually really funny because I'll tell the story, right? It's right in the middle of Red Light District. There's an old church. It's actually called the Old Church, and it's the building itself is not used as a church anymore, or not that often. But there is a small building where a couple of priests still live. Right, they live there together. It's like an old priest's house. But this is right next to the church, and it's actually right next to the hookers on the church square, because the church square is pretty much taken over by hookers. But next to the priests, there's actually a kindergarten where the people that live nearby, you know, bring their children during the day to, you know, go for daycare. So it's kind of weird to have like in one spot, so one street, it's a fried chicken place, then it's hookers, then it's priests, then it's a kindergarten.
And according to Bites, there's more hookers after that.
So. Well, yeah, of course. There's more. But I always make the jokes that actually they should change the order so that the hookers are the buffer in between the priests and the kindergarten. You know?
There are definitely jokes there.
Yeah.
There's more than one joke there you can make. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
So. Innkeeper's After Dark.
There you go.
On your next,
this is all like 2
stuff.
Minutes from the venue, right? So it's right, like the venue's right next to that church. It's really in the middle of everything. Yep.
That's awesome. So I'm glad everybody had a good time. That's the most important thing. So.
Yep.
All right. Do you guys have any last minute questions for Lucas before we wrap this thing up? I know he's probably ready to go to bed.
I'm actually quite awake now.
Yeah, he's all pumped. Would you do it again?
In a heartbeat. Yeah, of course. I mean, especially if they want to fly me out to the next location, then I'll definitely be there. I doubt it, but you never know. You never know. Yeah, I mean, it was the best.
And once did Schwinghammer yell Schwinghammer when he took drinks?
Schwinghammer yelled Schwinghammer pretty much the whole day.
I would expect nothing less.
This is true. The legend lives on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, thank you so much, Lucas. I know it is late for you, but thank you so much for sharing your story and your journey with this. And, you know, I'm excited to share this insight into, you know, the Innkeeper side of this event, because, of course, we see, you know, the glitz, the dazzle, the early confetti bombs. We've seen
that's funny.
Stuff. But you don't always see the back end, you know, what you're describing with, like, the Team Blizzard brings in, you know, it's hard to get an insight into that kind of thing. So I think it's going to be really exciting. I know Marspad is excited just to kind of hear about your experience and what it was like as an innkeeper as a part of this event. So thank you so much for sharing and finding time to talk to us.
Thanks for having me. It was an honor to be here.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing your story. It was awesome.
That's right.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Just to recap tonight, we talked with our good friend Lucas from Amsterdam about the HCT World Championships that he got to be a part of a couple weekends ago. If you are looking to for more information about Lucas, or you want to follow his events, Lucas, where can they find you online to know when you're running events?
They can. My organization is called Amsterdam Hearthstone. So you can go to facebook.com/AmsterdamHearthstone, or you can go at Twitter at Amsterdam Hearth. And that's all the letters you have at Twitter, so Amsterdam Hearth. Or my website, which is www.AmsterdamHearthstone.nl.
Oh, website. Very nice.
Awesome.
Yes. In English, by the way. So.
Yeah. Good. Good. Aliri, how about you?
If you're looking to find me, you can hit me up on Twitter at Aliri, at A-L-E-I-R-R-I. Root, if people are looking to get in contact with you, where can they find you and all the podcasts that you do?
And all the podcasts that I do. Man, there are a lot of them. I just started another radio show this week. So, Painter Pain Killer. It's a very interesting show that we're doing Monday nights at 7:30. We're broadcasting that to Facebook and also MixLR.com radio. So it's kind of interesting. But you can find everything about me is Hearthstone related at Florida Fireside. We've got a great team of people there. We put on Fireside events here in the Orlando, Florida area on a monthly basis out at Full Sail University. It's a fantastic venue with a fantastic group of people. You can also find me every week, just about, unless I screw up the files and delete half of it or don't know what happened. But on my Blizzard podcast called Hearthcast. You can find me on the Twitters at HearthcastRoot. And Vontes, what about you, my friend?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at AvantesHS, or you can find me on Twitch every Tuesday night doing this show, and every Wednesday night doing Hero Power, a Hearthstone podcast with my co-hosts Zerotio and Versica. And, you know, I'm always around. Don't forget to check out hsinkeepers.com for all your resources, or the official
and our Discord,
or the official Blizzard resource page at resources.firesidegatherings.com. And I believe that's going to do it for us this week. As we close the show, we want to thank all of you for joining us in chat. It's awesome to have all of you with us every week. You ask great questions, we get great feedback. And we also want to thank all of you listening at home. We'll see you all again next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
HS Innkeepers Podcast. For legendary resources and more, go to hsinnkeepers.com.
Swing hammer!